Tonight's shiur is on the holiday of Tu B'Av, which comes out this week. And we're going to discuss, based on the Gemara and Tainus, perhaps what the philosophy of this holiday of Tu B'Av, of Tes Vav B'Av, is based on. And what kind of idea is the basis, is the concept behind, you know, us not saying Tachanun on this day. So we'll look in the Mishnah in Tainus. It's at the very end of Tainus, and we'll try to analyze philosophically what the idea is of this holiday. So if we look in source number one, it's the Gemara Tainus Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. It's actually a Mishnah. It says, Am Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. At the end of the Mishnah, it quotes Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and it says, Lo hayu yamim tovim leYisrael kechamisha sar ba'av uchiyom hakipurim. So the Mishnah says that there are no greater days, yamim tovim, good days, for the Jewish people, like the 15th day of Av and like Yom Kippur. Shebahen binos Yerushalayim yotzos b'chli lavan she'ulim. On the 15th of Av, the girls, the unmarried girls of Yerushalayim would go out in white clothes that they would borrow from one another. Shelo levayish is misha einla. So everyone would wear borrowed clothing so that it wouldn't be embarrassing for someone who didn't have money to have nice clothes. Kola kelem tu'unin tefila, and all the kelem had to be washed and immersed. Uvenos Yerushalayim yotzos v'cholos b'chramim. And these women, these girls, would go out dancing in the vineyards. Uma yu omros, what would they say? Bachor, young lad, sanai nachar e, ma'ata borer lecha. Look up and see what you're choosing for yourself. Al titein einacha b'noi, don't look at beauty. Tein einacha b'mishpacha, rather you should look at family, at family yichus. And they quote a pasuk, Sheker achein v'hevel ayofi isha yiras Hashem hitis halal. So grace, which is chein, is deceitful, and yofi, which is beauty, is vain. A woman who fears Hashem should be praised. V'omer, and he says, Tnu la mipri yadeha v'yaluha b'sha'ar maseha. You should give her the fruit of your hand, and let her work praise her in the gates. So the Mishnah talks about, or compares Yom Kippur to the 15th day of Av, and it says that there weren't greater days, Yamim Tovim, for the Jewish people as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. And then it explains what happened on the 15th of Av. Basically, the women of Yerushalayim would go out, and they would dance in the fields with this white clothing, and they would seduce the young men, the young unmarried men, by telling them or by saying in front of them, don't value beauty. You should value mishpacha. You should value yira, which is fear of Hashem. Value those things. So there's a couple questions that I wanted to start the Mishnah on, and the basis of the questions are the basis of the shir. So we just look at Rashi before we get to those questions. I just want to get the pshat. And source number two, Rashi says she'ulin. So why were all the clothes borrowed? Shekula she'ula zumizu afilu ashiros kadesh lelavayish. Even the wealthy women would borrow clothing so that it wouldn't be embarrassing for the poor women who didn't have money to have nice clothes. They would all be borrowed. It would be borrowed clothes. Tu'un and tefila, kodem shi'abisham. All the clothing had to be immersed. Lefishen kol achas b'kia b'chaverta, shamanida hayasa. So that's an idea in Tumah Tahara. V'cholos k'molacho b'mecholos. And they were dancing out in the vineyards. So the Mishnah, as I said before, explains or compares Yom Kippur to the 15th day of Av, in terms of them being Yamim Tovim. And there's this whole ritual that occurred on the 15th day of Av. So there's a couple questions that I wanted to raise. The first question is, what is the idea of a Yom Tov? Meaning, the Mishnah says, Lo yu Yamim Tovim leYisrael. So what does that mean? Does that mean that there weren't more joyous days, happier days, Simcha? What exactly does it mean, Yamim Tovim? What's the definition of Yamim Tovim, of Yom Tov? The second question, so the first question is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Yamim Tovim? The second question is, what's the comparison between Yom Kippur and the 15th day of Av? So why does the Mishnah compare the two in terms of them being the ideal Yom Tov, the ideal, the best Yom Tov? So what exactly is the connection between the two? And the third question is, how do we explain this ritual? What's the idea of the ritual? What's the basis of this ritual? So again, so we're going to try to understand this. The Mishnah identifies Chamisha Asar Av, Tu B'Av, Tesva B'Av, as a unique day, a day that's similar to Yom Kippur. So we have to understand what its character is, what's the idea of a Yom Tov, and what its connection to Yom Kippur is. And lastly, what exactly is the Mishnah telling us that these women would dance around, and they were trying to get the Bukharim to admire them. And furthermore, it says that they basically said, don't look at beauty, but look at, you know, look at Mishpacha. So we'll see in the Gemara what that means. And it's actually not exactly true, because the Gemara says that the beautiful women would say, look at beauty. So we'll look at that Gemara as well, and we'll try to understand the Mishnah and the Gemara. But the basic question is, what's Yantav, what's the connection, and why the ritual? So if you look in source number 3, let's look at the Gemara. So the Gemara has several different reasons for why we celebrate Tesfah B'Av as a special day. But I'm only going to take up the first two reasons, and you'll see why through the shir. So if you look in source number 3, it says, Amar Avshim V'Gamliel, Lo Yu Yomim Tovim Le'Yisrael K'chamishah Sar B'Av V'Chiyom HaKippurim. So the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah, and then it says, Bishloma Yom HaKippurim. So Yom Kippur makes sense. Why? Mishum de ispe slicha umechila yom shenisnu bo luchos achronos. So two things about Yom Kippur make it the best day. Is the Yom Tov the best Yom Tov? What are they? One is that the Jewish people get slicha and mechila. They get forgiveness for their sins on Yom Kippur. We get atonement. And the second is that the Jewish people got the second set of luchos on Yom Kippur. So the identification of Yom Tov by Yom Kippur is tied to two ideas or two concepts. One, again, being that it's Slicha and Mechila, and the second one being the Luchos. So the Gemara goes on, and it says, Ela Chamishah Sar B'Av Maihi. So what's the deal with the 15th of Av? Why do we celebrate it? What makes it similar? What makes it a Yom Tov? So the Gemara gives the first answer. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebezeh. It was the day that the Shvatim were allowed to marry, to intermarry among Shvatim. So if you look in source number 4, Rashi explains what this means. Shehutru Shvatim lavo zebezeh, derachmana amar v'cholbas yoreshes nachla. It says that any woman, this is by Tzlofchad, but no Tzlofchad, and we'll explain a little bit later, but any woman who gets nachla from her father, uchsiv v'losisov nachla mimateh l'mateh acher, ki ish b'nachla so yidbaku b'nei Yisrael. So the women, there was a concern that if women would marry other people and other Shvatim, that there was a concern that there would be a mix-up amongst the inheritance of the Shvatim when the Shvatim were being divided. And we'll see more in detail as we go on. But basically there was an Isser that, specifically by Bnei Tzlofchad, but it could be by the whole, by all of Klal Yisrael, for women in one Shevet to marry men outside of their Shevet. And that's what it sounds like the pshat of the Gemara is. And on 15th of Av, there was a heter. There was a matir now for women of, let's say, Shevet Ephraim to marry women of Shevet, men of Shevet Yehuda, or women of Shevet Levi to marry men of, you know, Shevet Binyamin. So there was a heter on this day, on the 15th of Av, and it became a day of celebration, of happiness. Then now there could be intermarriage amongst the Shvatim. And if you look in the back in the Gemara, in source number 3, it says, what's the pasuk that teaches us that? My darish, zeh ha-davar asher tzivad Hashem levno slavchad. So this was commanded to the bnos slavchad. Davar zeh lo yehe noeg ela bedor zeh. So this thing, it's from the zeh ha-davar. Why does it say zeh ha-davar? It means davar zeh. This thing should only be for that generation. That's the liman. So look at Rashi, zeh ha-davar asher tzivad Hashem levno slavchad, and source number 4. Zeh miyad hu, zeh is a miyad. It's an exclusion. Klomar lo yeh davar zeh noeg ela bedor zeh. It teaches us that this idea of a lack of intermarriage amongst the Shvatim should only be noeg in that generation, the generation of the Midbar, bedor shel benot Tzlofchad, the generation of benot Tzlofchad. So that's the first answer. The first answer is that the Jews were very happy because now women could marry amongst other Shvatim, and men can marry women from other Shvatim. So there was this big celebration on Tu B'Av, and it became a Yom Tov, a holiday. And then the Gemara keeps going. Go back to the Gemara. We'll just do the second answer, and then we'll explain a little bit further. So the second answer says, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Nachman. So Rav Yosef said in the name of Nachman, Yom Shehutar Shevet Binyamin, Lavo Bekal. They say that on the 15th of Av, that was the day that the Shevet Binyamin were allowed to marry, now intermarry amongst the other Shvatim. Shenemar, V'ish Yisrael Nishba B'mitzvah Leimor, Ishi Menu Lo Yitein Bitol V'Binyamin Le'isha. There was the Klal Yisrael as a whole, they made a takana, a shvua, that nobody was going to marry into Binyamin. I'll go into the explanation of it. My darish, amarav mimenu velo mibaninu. So only in their generation was there this Isser, but not from their children. So on the 15th of Av, now it was allowed for Sheva ben Yamin to intermarry amongst the Shvatim. So Sheva ben Yamin, they were punished because of this story in Shoftim, Pilegesh Begeva. It was a pretty gruesome story where the Shevet ends up convening on this old man's house who was being hospitable to some travelers, and they end up basically taking the woman, the Pilegesh, of this traveler outside of the guest house. It's almost like the Lot story, very similar. They take her out, and they end up abusing her, and they assault her. And it was, and then what ends up happening is she ends up dying, and the husband, or her husband cuts her up into pieces and sends it out to all the Shvatim, and it becomes a big source of shame that Binyamin was involved in this Pilegesh Begiva, in this story. And there ends up being a shvua amongst Klal Yisrael that they're not going to marry amongst Binyamin because of the fact that Binyamin was involved in this terrible situation where they assaulted this woman who was a Pilegesh, and they ended up, and they beat her up, and they assaulted her, and they ended up losing out on the ability to intermarry. But that was matired. That Isser, that prohibition, or Shvua, there was a heter after that generation, and it was a big celebration. Now Binyamin can now marry. So the Gemara ends up saying that there's two ideas, two Tuba of. The first is tied to the Shvatim in general, that in the time of the Midbar, there was a prohibition for intermarriage amongst the Shvatim, and also, furthermore, in the times of Shoftim, when Binyamin was ostracized because of the story of Pilegesh Begiva, which is a fascinating story, and if you have extra time, you should look into it. It's Perek Chaf in Shoftim, and Perek Chaf Aleph. So after that generation, there was a heter, and now the Jews could all marry Shevet Binyamin. So there were these two events, and because of these events, there was a holiday established of Tu B'Av. It became a very happy day, Yom Tov. So we have to understand, we still don't know what the concept of Yom Tov is. What is the idea of Yom Tov and how Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av are tied to one another. So those are questions that we still have to answer, but at least we started off with the Gemara and we'll start from here. So if you look, let's just finish the Rashi. It says, Lava Bakal, Lisa Nashim, Lafish Nishbu Yisrael, Melhi Nase Lahem. So they weren't allowed to marry. This is by Binyamin. The men of Binyamin were not allowed to marry the women outside of their Shevet. And it says, Mimenu, Miyudhu, it's also an exclusion. Dichsev Ish Mimenu, Lo Yitein Bito LeBinyamin. So we're not going to give our daughters to the Shevet of Binyamin. Lo Gazru Elamehem, Aval Mibinehem Lo Gazru. That was only at that point, or those people, but not their children, not Binyamin's sons, the sons of Binyamin. So there was a great celebration that this happened. Okay, fine. So these are very nice ideas and nice events, but how does it explain the character of Tu B'Av? So if we look in, we're just going to go step by step, and by the end of this year, hopefully everything will come together. And if you have any questions, just stop me, as usual. So there's a Tosos on this, in source number 5. And Tosos is cryptic. He says, Yom Shehutru Ashvatim Lavo Zebezeh Perish Dahini Yom Tov. It was the day that the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. This is in the time of the Midbar. And he says, it's a Yom Tov. It's like a Yontif. It's a good day. And there's one of the Mefarshim in number 6. He has a good explanation of Tosfos that I just wanted to show. It says, Shamati B'Agon Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank Zatzal Shetosfos Arachu Kimo Mechtov Ach Tosfos Katerhu Kimo Mivrok. So he says that, I think he's saying that a long Tosfos is like a letter, a short Tosfos is, I don't know what Mivra, I think it's like thunder. I'm not sure if he's saying that, but he's saying that there's a lot of depth to a short Tosfos. V'tzarech l'iskayeh b'chavanasam. You have to really try to figure out what the kavan of Tosfos is when he doesn't say a lot. It's easier to understand Tosfos when he's very verbose, but when you have a very short Tosfos, like the one in source number 5, we have to understand what he's adding. What is he actually adding to the Gemara that he says that that's why it was Yom Tov? Because it was the day that the Jewish people were allowed to intermarry among Shvatim. So he says, "Umatzasi b'mafarshim, the kavanas haGemara lahakshos shtei kushios." So he explains the pshat of the Gemara that the Gemara was asking two questions. Ha'achas, the first question is b'ma hayu tuba of Yom Tov. So what made tuba of Yom Tov? V'hashenius b'ma adif hu al shar yamim tovim. And the second is what makes it better than other Yom Tovs. So he explains that The Gemara is really asking two questions. What makes it a Yom Tov? What gives it a character of Yom Tov, of a holiday? And second of all, what makes it so great? V'alzeh daiku atosot. So Tosos is being a daik. He's specific and exact in his explanation. Dehatirat harishon shehu mishum shehutru shvatim. The first answer is that the reason why it became a Yom Tov is because the shvatim, or there's a heter shvatim. Zehu hatam dehav Yom Tov. But the second reason is that the Jews were now allowed to marry Binyamin. That explains what makes it better than other Yom Tovs. So the basis for the Yom Tov was the Hutter Shvatim, the fact that there was an intermarriage allowed to happen amongst the Shvatim. But what made it even greater, that day became even better when Binyamin, in the story of Binyamin, when there was a Heter for them to marry amongst Klal Yisrael. V'diyuka me'al de'al teretz hasheni isa amar of Yosef amar of Nachman. So he's medayik in the fact that the Gemara says amar, Rav Yosef amar of Nachman, v'lokas of Rav Yosef amar of Nachman amar, mi'muchach de'al tam hasheni ba'la hosef u'lefarish es ha'tam harishon v'lo ba'la chalik. So he explains that the second reasoning is not, they're not arguing, it's not that the first reason is saying that the reason for Tu B'Av is really because of the Shvatim, and the second reason is saying the reason for Tu B'Av is because of Binyamin, but rather the second reason is really adding to the first reason. The first reason is the basis of Tu B'Av. It's really that the Shvatim were allowed to marry amongst each other, and the second reason, the whole Heter Binyamin, made it even greater and made the day or the Yom even greater. So he's explaining that the second reason of the Gemara is not really contradicting or arguing with the first reason, but it's just adding to the first reason. So the Gemara ends up, as I said before, the Gemara ends up going on to other reasons why Tu B'Av is special, but we're going to take up this idea. This is the basis, the first reasoning of the Gemara as to why Tu B'Av is special. It's because of these two events. One is that the Shvatim were allowed to marry amongst each other, and the second is because of Binyamin, because of what happened with Binyamin, that they were ostracized because of Pilegesh Begiva, but then the Jewish people gave their daughters to Binyamin, to the sons of Binyamin, after that generation. So that's really one reason, or one central reason for Tu B'Av. So we're going to try to explain that. So, but I like to keep summarizing the questions. I know it's redundant, but the questions still are, okay, we have all this information, but we still have to understand what the connection is between Yom Kippur and what the identity of the Yom Tov is, and what exactly, you know, can we define its identity? So those are the two questions that we still remain with and that we have to answer. Okay, so let's just look at just a couple more details. We have to do all the work before we get to the svara, to the idea. But we'll just look at a couple more details and then we'll get to the concept of Tu B'Av, I think. So let's just look at the upshot on what the Isser was by the Shvatim. Why couldn't they marry one another? So if you look in source number 7, and this would have been great a couple weeks ago, it's the end of Bamidbar. 7, source number 7. Bamidbar perek lamed vav pasuk vav. Zeh davar asher tziva Hashem livnos slavcha lemor. Lato be'enehem tiena l'nashim. Ach l'mishpachas matei avihem tiena l'nashim. So Moshe commands, based on Hashem, it's really Hashem's commandment, to b'nos slavchad, that they can take whoever they want for husbands, and they can be wives whoever they want, but they have to stay within the sheva, within their sheva, Menashe. He says, "V'lo sisov nachalal l'vnei Yisrael mimateh el mateh ki ish benachalas mateh v'sav yid beku b'nei Yisrael." Because we don't want nachala, we don't want land and inheritance being split up inappropriately amongst the shvatim. So b'nos slavchad, they, of course, asked Moshe if they could get their father's inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, and he said yes. The only problem is that if they marry a man in a different shevet, let's say they marry somebody in Ephraim or somebody in Yehuda, and then Benas Lavcha die, then what happens to that land? The land goes to the husband, typically. So the problem is, now you have this issue with land. We don't know, the lands become mixed up. The Shvatim's lands become mixed up, and we don't want that. The Torah wants the Shvatim to live in different states, in different areas in Eretz Yisrael. So if you look at a map of Eretz Yisrael, when it was first divided up, the Torah's intent was that each Sheva would get a specific portion of land. And if you have, let's say, Menashe's land in somebody else's Sheva's land, it ends up being a mishmash of land. And that's not what the intent of the Torah was. So that's the problem. So therefore, the Torah is teaching us that Benos Slavchad had to marry amongst their Shvatim, amongst their Sheva. So Ramban just goes on. He explains the nature of the psukim. He says in source number 8, Lo sisov nachlo l'bnei Yisrael mimateh el mateh. Lo chashash akasav el esake na esahi. So the pasuk was just trying to take care of the situation back then, in that time period. Ki imayu b'Yisrael nashim nesuos l'shevet acher. Because let's say you had women who were married already after this happened. Let's say women were married already from, let's say, Menashe to Ephraim. I'll use those two. Vehin yorshos nachla hayom, and they were yorish nachla today. Their father died, and the father didn't have any sons, and they were no yorish. Osha tirashena miyom zev eilech shiyomos avihen o achen below banim. Or if they were yorish in the future, al karchinu tisov nachla son yimatel mateh. So what will happen is that their land will end up switching to a different land, a different shevet. Umiyuchol l'saken bizman esa sher ifso. Who can fix this situation when it's crooked? Meaning it will be a situation where the lands will be mixed up, like I said before. Ki lo ratzisa ha-Torah letzavos lo yirshu osan habal, habin v'habal. The Torah didn't want to make a law that if a woman who's married to somebody from a different shevet, this is a little complicated, but a woman who's married to somebody from a different shevet, if she dies, that her son or her husband doesn't get it. The Torah didn't want to say that and say, oh, no, they don't get it. It's the relative of the father. They don't want to say that. Why? He says, Shelo ra'asa la'akor mishpat yerusha. That's the very basis of Yerusha, that the son and the husband get it when the wife dies. V'chein lo yachash akasav l'mikrim ha'asidim lavo. The Torah is not even concerned about the future. Because girls that aren't Yorish Nachla can marry anybody. The Efshar Shetiana Yorishos Nachla Bizman Haba, Kiamusu Achien Bechaya of Vitavor Nachlas Avien Okroven Lahen. And also in the future, a woman could get married to somebody in another Shevet, and then their father dies, and they can get their Yerusha, and it'll be a problem. So he says, Valdas Raboseinu. So according to Chachamim, this is only in that generation, which is what we saw in our Gemara as well. That only in that generation was there this Isser for a girl, for a woman, who was going to be Yorish from their father to marry outside of the Shevet. Yitachin shlohayu b'chol adorahu haba be'aretz b'nos yorshos nachla zulasi b'nos slavchad. But then the Ramban says that perhaps in that generation, there was only one group of women that were in that situation, which were Benos Slavchad. Ki al kein lo dibru. The Torah doesn't talk about anybody else who asked Moshe for Nachla. V'tziva akasav shim yomos adam min ayomahu ach techalek ha'aretz l'shivtayim b'tel yoreshes oso. So the Torah commanded that from that day on, until the Chaluka, anybody, any woman who was going to be Yoresh their father, lo tinase l'shevet acher. So that woman who was destined to get her father's Yerusha because her father died, that type of woman was not allowed to marry outside the Shevet. This was a specific to that generation because in the time of the Chalukah of the division, they didn't want to have separation. They didn't want to have the mishmash of the lands. The Torah wasn't so machbid strict afterwards, once the land was established. But since they didn't know when the chiluk was going to happen, there was an ashara on the whole generation. They didn't know exactly when the land was going to be split up. So the whole generation, there was an ashara for women who were destined to get Yerusha to marry out to the Shevet. Okay, fine. So the Ramban just explains what the issue was. And I'm just trying to give the pshat here. And if you're not paying attention, it's okay. But we're going to get to the svara. But the main idea the Ramban's highlighting is the problem. The problem is that a woman who is destined to get nachla from her father after her father died, so if she marries somebody outside the Shevet, so what happens is if she dies, then the land will be mishmashed, it'll be split, and it'll be a problem. So that generation, which was the generation of Chaluka, where they split up the lands, they wanted to specifically prohibit that type of marriage in order that when they split up the land, we don't create this issue, this problem. But then he explains, V'nachon hu aderech ha-pshat, and this is good according to the pshat, she'ein v'lo sisov nachla tam kadesh lo sisov nachla. It's not the reason. Aval hein shtei mitzvos tiva b'yorshos nachla. There were two mitzvos that the Torah is explaining. Shelo tina sena rak lemate avihen. The first is that vitziva benesuas kvar. The first is that a woman who's destined, whose father died, and she's the yoresh, she's the inheritor, she can't marry somebody outside of her shevet. Vitziva benesuas kvar. And also the Torah addresses a woman who's already married, that if she dies, her land doesn't go to her husband and her son. So the Ramban's saying, he's contradicting what he said before, and he's saying that the Torah's mitzuva, that if a woman were to marry outside of her shevet and die, that her husband doesn't get her Yerusha, but rather it goes to the relatives of her father. Aval Yirshu Osan Achein Ukrovein Velo Benein Velo Balein. V'hizer Mitzchila B'Bnos Sofchad. So first the B'Bnos Sofchad were warned. V'acharechein B'chol Basher Reshes Nachla. And then any woman who was a Yorish, who was an inheritor, had this Isser where they weren't allowed to marry outside the Shevet. V'amar B'chol Yisrael Shel Tisov Nachla Mimate Al Mate. She'afan Esuos O Mizharas Im Yavru Al Mitzvah Yarshu Osan Anshei Amate. And then the Ramban goes on and he says as well that there is a general prohibition amongst Klal Yisrael that if a woman were married, as I said before, that her land, if she died, would not go to her husband or her sons, but it would go back to her father's relatives. But again, he specifies that it was only for that generation. So he was giving advice to those who are unmarried, who asked, meaning Benos Lavchon, and also to those who are married. So the Ramban just explains the issues in the situation, and he still says that the Isser was only in that generation. So after that generation, even if a woman was destined or was a Yoresh, was an inheritor, she was allowed to marry outside of her Shevet. And that seems to be the basis for her Tuba Av. So it's a very specific idea. But when it says Heter Shvatim, it means a woman who was supposed to be an inheritor from her husband. Now, at the time of the Torah, she wasn't allowed to get married outside of the Shevet. But after that generation, there was a Heter now for a woman to get married outside the Shevet. So we have to understand, again, so just getting the Pshat, but we still have to understand what the happiness is, what the greatness of this day is. So hopefully we'll explain it. And then the last point before we get to the answer is source number 9, Shoftim. It says, V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah le'mor ish v'menu li'itim bito l'vinyamin le'isha. So the Jewish people, every Jew in Klal Yisrael made a shvuah and mitzvah in that place to say that no man in Klal Yisrael should give their daughter to Binyamin as an isha. And then the Radak says, lo yitim bito nasnu osam kimo menudim shlitzchatsnu bam. So they were basically in Nidoy, they were ostracized, Binyamin, and no girl amongst Klal Yisrael can marry into them because of the shame that they created. So we have these two examples that were matired, the idea that a woman who's an inheritor can now marry outside of her Shevet, and the idea of Binyamin, that the whole Shevet itself was allowed to be intermarried, intermarriage was allowed in that situation. So these are the two bases for Tuba Av. So what exactly is the philosophy here? So we have to get back to the original questions. So what is the idea or the identity of a Yom Tov? And second of all, what is the comparison between this Yom Tov and the basis of this Yom Tov and the idea of Tuba Av and the comparison to Yom Kippur? So let's take up the first question. What is Yomim Tovim? So the first example is Yom Kippur in the Gemara. And we see that Yom Kippur has a unique identity amongst Yom Tovs. So if you look in source number 11, it says, by Yom Kippur in Vayikra Perk Tes Zayin, Shabbos Shabbason Hilachem V'ini Semes Nafshoch Seichem Chukas Olam. The Torah refers to Yom Kippur as a Shabbos. It says Shabbos Shabbason Hi. And that's the only Yom Tov that is referred to as a Shabbos. All the other Yom Tovs are not referred to as Shabbos. They're Yom Tov, but not Shabbos, Shabbos Shabbason. But Yom Kippur has a special din of Shabbos Shabbason. So there's a uniqueness to Yom Kippur as a Yom Tov, that it's almost similar to Shabbos in some sense, as opposed to the other Yom Tovim that are not as similar to Shabbos. So there is something unique to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is defined as the basis of this comparison to Tuba Av, and as I said, if you go back to the Mishnah, it says, Lo hayu Yomim Tovim LeYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom ha'kipurim. So there weren't these great Yom Tovs like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. So what makes Yom Kippur Shabbat Shabbason? So look in the Chizkuni in source number 12. He says, in the end of the first line, Lachem zehu Yom HaKippurim hamekudash b'shvilchem, aval Yom HaShvi nikra Shabbos Ladoshem. So he points out that if in the Pasuk in source number 11, it says Shabbat Shabbason hi Lachem. It's a Shabbos for you, as opposed to a Shabbos for Hashem, which is Shabbos Bereishis. So Yom Kippur is considered the ultimate Yom Tov. It's the only Yom Tov that has the quality of Shabbos, of Shvisa. And it's similar in some sense to the idea of Shabbos itself, but Shabbos is for Hashem. So what does that mean? What exactly does it mean that the Shvisa of Yom Kippur is for you, Shabbos is for Hashem? So what exactly is this comparison? What's the nature of Yom Kippur that it's the highest Yom Tov? So I want to try to answer that and use this as the basis for Tu B'Av. So we have a lot of questions on the table. So what exactly is special about Yom Kippur versus other Yom Tovs? So what is the celebration of Yom Tov in general? So let's just start with a basic question. So I think that the celebration of Yom Tov, based on the Pesukim, and I'll give you proofs, is the idea of a celebration of Klal Yisrael's relationship with Hashem. And where do we see that? We see that from Aliyah LeRegel, that the mitzvah of Yontif, of the Shlosh Regalim, is to go to the Beis HaMikdash, go to the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, and bring korbanos and be lifnei Hashem. And we're supposed to be in front of or before Hashem. So the whole happiness, the simcha of Yom Tov, is tied to the concept of us having a relationship with Hashem and us being able to be in the presence of Hashem. So the simcha of being lifnei Hashem, which is the essential philosophy of Yom Tov in general, is the concept that the Jewish people are celebrating, are happy, because there's a relationship that exists between us and God. And it's not that God, as opposed to, you know, other philosophies that maintain that God doesn't relate to man, or God doesn't exist. We believe that God exists, and God has a relationship to us in particular. And on Yom Tov, we celebrate that relationship. We're happy. We're lifnei Hashem. And that's the whole idea of us recognizing our relationship with Hashem. So what's the idea of Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbason. It's the highest level Yom Tov. It's similar to Shabbos. So Yom Kippur is really, the Gemara says, is really Slicha and Mechila. What makes it such a great Yom Tov? Slicha and Mechila. And also the idea of the Luchos. So are those two ideas tied to one another? Of course. The concept of Yom Kippur is the idea of us establishing a relationship with God. Meaning Yom Tov in general is that we have a relationship and we're celebrating. We're Lifnei Hashem. But Yom Kippur is the idea of the reestablishment or the creation of that relationship. And Slicha and Mechila is really that concept, that without Slicha and Mechila, our relationship would degrade. But Slicha and Mechila allows us to reestablish our relationship with God. And the second Luchos is the same idea. It's a new bris. It's a new covenant that God made with the Jewish people. It's a new relationship that we have through the second Luchos with Hashem. So the difference, I would say, between Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, vis-a-vis the idea of Yontif, is that essentially Yontif is tied to Lachem, to our relationship with Hashem. It's not about Hashem in the abstract, but it's tied to our relationship with Hashem. And in general, Yom Tov's a celebration of that relationship, and Yom Kippur, I think, is Shabbat Shabbason. It's the highest level Yom Tov. It's like the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Lo Yu Yomim Tovim LeYisrael. It means it's the ideal Yom Tov. Why? Because Yom Kippur is really the establishment of our relationship with God. And that's through Slicha and Mechila, the idea that God forgives us and we get atonement, so now we can start our relationship again. And also the idea of the second Luchos. So both of those are tied to one another, and they really highlight the character of Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is Yom Tov in the sense that it's tied to the idea of Lachem. It's tied to our relationship with God. But it's a special type of Yom Tov. It's tied to Shabbos, Shvisa. It's the establishment, the creation of that relationship. And the creation of that relationship is premised on the idea of Slicha and Mechila and the premise on the idea of the second Luchos. And that's the difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Shabbos is Lashem. It's basically recognizing the idea of God in the abstract as the creator of the universe. And really the concept of Shabbat Shabbason Lachem is Yom Kippur, the idea that man is capable and establishes a relationship with Hashem. That's really Yom Kippur. That's the idea of Yom Kippur. So based on this philosophical insight, I want to say that that's what it means. Lo hayu yomim tovim leYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av and kiyom kippur. That Yom Kippur is highlighted as the ideal, the paradigm Yom Tov, because it takes the concept of relationship and it ties it to the establishment itself, to the idea. And you could say it's Sinai. Sinai also has an element of that. But I would say that the Jews' survival and our reestablishment and our ability to allow that relationship to continue is tied to Slicha and Mechila, because man is inherently a sinner, and to the second Luchos. So that's really, it's almost like a second chance. It's like a new start that we have with God. And that's the idea of Yom Kippur. That's the concept that Yom Kippur is highlighting, and that's what makes it Shabbat Shabbason. It's the highest level. It's the idea of us studying God vis-a-vis our creation of relationship with Him, as opposed to us studying God in the abstract as the creator of the universe. So how does that tie it to Tu B'Av? So it reminded me of the idea of marriage, and the highlight of Tu B'Av is marriage. It reminded me of a famous medrash. I think I've heard this many times, this drasha many times. I think I spoke about it at my engagement party. So there's a Rashi by Esav. It says that Esav married Basmas Bas Yishmael. Look at source number 13. V'es Basmas Bas Yishmael Achus Nevayos. It says that Esav married Basmas, the daughter of Yishmael, who was the sister of Nevayos. So if you look in source number 14, it says Basmas Bas Yishmael. But in another pasuk, it says that her name was Machalas. So here it's calling her Basmas, but her real name was Machalas. Or at least there's another pasuk where it says Machalas Bat Yishmael. So what exactly was her name? So the famous Rashi, it says, Matzinu v'agadas medr sefer Shmuel, shlosha mochlin lahan avonu sam. There are three individuals who get mechila, forgiveness, atonement for their avonos. Gerush Neskayer, so it's a convert. Va'ula Lagdula, a person who gets promoted to a new position. Va'anosa Isha, and a person who gets married. V'limid Atami Khan, and they learn it out from this Lashon. L'chach Nikris Machla, Shenimchlu Avonosea. That's what it means, Machla. Machla means that the Nimchlu Avonosea, that the sins are forgiven. So this is a famous drasha, and if you ever want to give a Dvar Torah at an engagement party or a marriage, this is famous. It's what's the idea? The idea is that marriage is a new start. It doesn't mean that your sins are automatically forgiven, but what it means is that all these situations are situations where a person feels anew, and they feel like this newness gives them a fresh start. And the Medrash is teaching us that you should use that feeling, that sense that you have, to do tshuva and to really reconnect with God. So really, these are all situations. A Gershon Yisgari, he's coming anew. He's becoming a new person. He's like a yeled, like a newborn. And a person who gets a new position, let's say you're promoted to a new job title, so that also, you feel like you're starting new. So you should use that feeling, that sense, to do tshuva. And also when you get married. So when you get married, it's really also a new start for a person. It's starting a new life. And the idea of that is starting a new relationship. But you should use that sense or that feeling for the good, and to connect with God, to create, to do tshuva for God, and that's what it means. Avanoseh nimchalin. It means your sins will be forgiven if you use that situation to do tshuva, and through that situation, you're granted the ability to get mechila properly, to get the mechila from God. So I think that's the idea of Tu B'Av. So what is the concept of Tu B'Av? So Tu B'Av is tied to Yom Kippur in the sense that just like Yom Kippur is an expression of this idea of a new relationship, the establishment of the relationship with God, so too, the idea of marriage is the same concept. The idea of marriage is that a person is supposed to use or utilize this relationship with his wife for the good, in order to do tshuva and to create a new relationship with God as well. And we see that idea, this is not just a drush, but if you look in the, if this is one of my questions, but if you look in the Gemara itself, look in source number 15. It says, Tanu Rabbanan, Yefifi Yoshevehen, Ma Yu Omros, Tanu Einechem Liyofi. So the beautiful girls would say that, what would they say? They would say, look at beauty, look at my beauty. You should marry me because I'm beautiful. She'ena Isha El Liyofi. So they say a woman's only for beauty. Miyuchaso Shevehen, Ma Yu Omros. The ones who had family, Yichas, what would they say? Tanu Einechem Lemishpacha, Lefisha'ena Isha El Levonim. So a woman is only for children, and if you have good yichus, you're going to have good children. Mechem l'shem shemayim. So take your goods for the good of shem shemayim, shem shemayim. Obavad shetashruni bezehuvim. As long as you give me nice stuff, jewelry, and you pay for my clothing, Rashi says, after we get married. So the Mishnah only has the Mishpacha, and it quotes the Pasuk. If you look back in the Mishnah, in source number 1, it quotes the Pasuk of Sheker Achein Behevel Yofi Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tesalal. It says that Chein, grace, is deceitful, and Yofi, beauty, is really Hevel, it's vain, but rather Yiras Hashem, Na'al of Hashem, is really something that's praiseworthy in a woman. But in the Gemara itself, it talks about how the women would use different ways to seduce the men. But the Mishnah is teaching us the ideal of what the concept of Tuba Av is. It's not, yes, the women would use different tactics to ensnare the men and to get them married. But the essential idea of Tuba Av is in that Mishnah, which is that the concept of marriage is an Isha Yiras Hashem, is getting married to somebody who's really Yiras Hashem, somebody who has the right philosophy. And I think it's very much tied to the idea of that I was saying, which is that Yiras Hashem is an Isha Yiras Hashem is really the basis for this concept of mechila, of the idea of establishing a new relationship with your wife, starting anew, and also using that in terms of your relationship with God. So I think that that's the connection between the two. So again, I just wanted to, one last point, the Shulchan Aruch just says on Tuba, if you don't do nefilas apayim, which is tachanun, so it actually has halachic significance that we don't do nefilas apayim, we don't do tachanun on this day. But I think the takeaway from the shir is that I wanted to try to understand the character of Tuba. The character of Tuba, what makes it a Yom Tov, like Yom Kippur, is that it has a similarity in the sense that both are focused on this idea of newness, of the creation or establishment of a relationship. And just like Yom Kippur is the establishment of Yom Kippur premised on Slicha and Mechila, premised on the idea of the Luchos Achronos, so too, the idea of Tuba Av is based on a similarity, which is the establishment of a new relationship in marriage is the basis for a new philosophical relationship with God. So it's almost like Tuba Av is a personal type of such a personal holiday, even though it was established for Klal Yisrael. It's on a personal level a way to reestablish a relationship with God, just like Yom Kippur is the way to reestablish our relationship with God as a nation, as an Am. So on Yom Kippur, we are given Slicha and Mechila as a whole, and we're given the Luchos Achronos. We reestablished our relationship with God. And so too, our marriage, the idea of Tuba Av, which is the Heter Shvatim, is really a joyous day because it expresses the same concept, the ability of man to reestablish, almost start anew, just like you're starting anew with your wife, you start anew with God as well. So I think that Chazal recognized that, and that's the basis for the idea of Tuba Av, that Tuba Av became a day which was based on the fact that marriage was now matir, it was now permitted amongst Shvatim, amongst Binyamin. It really became a day that centered on this concept, the concept of marriage being the ability or being used for man to reestablish his relationship, not just with his wife, but with God as well. So it's similar to Yom Kippur in that sense. So I just wanted to, that's really the shir. So I just wanted to summarize that. I just did it. But Tuba Av, the question is, what's the tie-in to Yom Kippur? Why is it compared to it? What does it mean, Yom Tovim? What was this idea of the ritual? So the idea of Yom Kippur, we said, is that it's a uniqueness as a Yom Tov, and what makes it the Yom Tov, Yom Tovim, the best Yom Tov, in a certain sense, is that it's not just a celebration of our relationship, it's a celebration of our reestablish reconnection with God, and that's through Slicha and Mechila, Luchos Achronos. And the idea is that makes it one of the greatest Yom Tovs, because it's not just, it's the connection or it's the establishment of the relationship, not just the relationship itself, but it allows the relationship to continue, this reestablishment, and that's through Slicha and Mechila and also the Luchos Achronos. So too, the idea of Tuba Av, which is the heter of marriage amongst the Shvatim, it really created opportunities for Klal Yisrael to reestablish the relationship with God through the vehicle of marriage. Marriage became the idea of starting a new life, and that emotion, that feeling, that sense is really supposed to motivate a person to get to do tshuva and to get mechila and to reestablish a relationship with God as well. So I think that's what Chazal saw, and they established it as a holiday, and then it became Yom Tovim, it became this great holiday just like Yom Kippur in terms of its character. All right. Anybody have any questions? Okay. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you.